for it, right? I don't know what you brought in here or what's going on in your life. But this is where change comes. Open your heart to Him and just be on the edge of your seat in the sense of spiritually, just hungry and excited to receive what God has for you this morning. Hallelujah. Well, you can open to Matthew 6 before we get started. And that's where we're going to launch from, Matthew 6, verse 21. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. You know, the Word is our change, right? And listen, because it's important that people stay safe. And, you know, the Bible calls people in the congregation, it calls them sheep. Well, the predator of a sheep is a wolf. And there's the important thing for a good pastor is to keep the sheep safe. And I'll just say this, and I say this about myself. Don't take my word for anything. Amen? Don't take the TV preacher's word for anything. Don't take a ministry's word for anything. And if it's not in the Bible, throw it out. Glory to God. Pastor said this. Well, make sure what pastor's saying is in the Word of God. Because that's your ground level. That's your foundation. That's the thing that will keep you safe to know that I'm not being led astray. The Word of God is the one thing that can point out our wrong thoughts. It can point out our wrong feelings. Because how many of you know, a lot of times we think differently than the Word, or we feel differently than what the Word says. But if we bring it back to the Word, it can cut through those feelings. It can cut through what we think. And honestly, it can cut through what, you know, because it could look like, well, he must have it all together. He's the preacher behind the pulpit. And I don't mean just me. I mean on TV or any church. Listen, it's got to be the Word of God. Amen. This is our help. Hallelujah. And so let's pray and make sure he gets said what he wants said here this morning. Lord, it is such an honor to preach your word. Father, as much as I know how, Father, I want to stick to it like glue for the rest of my life, Father. It's what's brought me out of misery. It's what's brought me out of depression. It's what's brought me out of suicidal thinking. It's what's brought me out of addictions. It's what's brought me out of wrong living. And it's what's got enabled me to walk into your blessings and into your goodness and to experience the abundant life, a life full of peace, a life full of joy, a life full of victory. And Father, I thank you for your word. Help me to preach your word the way that you would want it said this morning. And Lord, I declare to you that I'm just a branch, you're the vine, that apart from you I can do nothing. So Lord, speak through me this morning. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. May I speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But Father, may there be a demonstration of the Spirit and power in the preaching today. And Father, I thank you for speaking to every heart here. Father, I thank you every single person represented here, Father, will get something from you today that pertains to their life. And it'll be a sign unto them that you love them and that you're speaking to them. And we give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I had mentioned a little bit ago during announcements, in the 3 years we've been here, I've never preached that I can remember. There might have been a service or two. I can't remember ever doing a succession of 3, 4, 5 weeks on finances. And it was something the Lord laid on my heart, and it's something I've dragged my feet doing. You know, as a young minister and as a minister in general, the one thing that I want to be so careful about is money. And, you know, my mentor and Brother Hagin, you know, they were very clear about ministers can get in trouble by becoming money-minded. I never want to do that, but that's a ditch that you can get into, always talking about it, and that's the only thing you talk about. But then there's the other ditch of never talking about it. And so there's so much in the Bible concerning finances. And what the Lord showed me is, listen, people are being hurt. The church is being hurt. The plan of God's being hurt when you don't teach on this stuff. And so we've been teaching about biblical finances. I encourage you to get online to look at the first 2 weeks. We discussed what the Bible said about the tithe. And we'll look at just a real quick review about that. But what I want to show you in Matthew 6 and verse 21, because people say, what's the big deal with money? Well, you know that God's after your heart, right? Because the heart of man is the real person. The outward, you know, the Bible says you can worship God and you can have all the moves down and you can praise Him out of your mouth. But if your heart's not with Him, the Bible says you're doing that in vain, right? You can do a lot in vain. You can come and serve and you can do it in vain. If your heart's not in it, then God wants your heart. He's not just interested in the show that you're putting on the outside. And so what's the big deal about money? Well, the big deal about money is the Lord says it's an indicator of where your heart is. And I know this, that I'm going to stand before Jesus someday, and you will too, and it's coming. And I want the Lord to know, listen, I had everything of Him. There was nothing that held Him back from me. Everything was open. The Lord knows my bags are packed. And what I mean by that, they're not literally packed, but my bags are packed in the sense if the Lord told me to get up and move to China, I'm doing it tomorrow. If the Lord said to me, and I mean this, if he said, go start a church on Thursday nights in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I'd do it. I'd drive 3 hours and drive home. It wouldn't matter to me. I'd do whatever. I want the Lord to know he has my heart, but you have to understand that your finances are connected to your heart. And we can see that with people because people get real touchy about the subject of money. They get real weird. They want to hold on and they don't want to do what the Bible says. And the Lord says it here. So this is what the big deal about money is. It says, where your treasure is, Jesus said, we can find out something by where your treasure is. It doesn't mean that which bank it's in. He doesn't have a favorite bank. He's talking about where it goes. Where your treasure is, he said, your heart will be connected with it. Do you see that there? No, that's not the preacher saying that. That's Jesus Christ himself. Now, I know we don't have red letters, but trust me, that's him. You look in your Bible, some have red letters. And so the big deal is that where your money is and what you do with your money is an indicator of your heart with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it's better to hear it from your pastor on earth than to get in front of Jesus and have him say, oh, I can't imagine getting in front of Jesus and having him not say anything but well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want him to get in front of me and say, well, that's it. Well, no, well done, thou good. I want him to know that, and you're going to see in a little bit, that money is so minor compared to God, what God thinks about it. And so, but where your treasure is, your heart is. And so I want to make sure the church that I'm pastoring thinks right and acts right about money. Amen. I want my church to be the real deal. I don't want to have a congregation full of fakes. I don't want to have a congregation who show up and they go through the motions and we pack the seats and we grow but yet really God's not pleased with us because our heart's not there. I want everybody's heart to be connected to the Heavenly Father, and we know that a good indicator of where our heart is our money. Now flip over to Luke 4, and I want to show you something cool about this financial series. And one of the other reasons why we're doing it, Luke 4 and verse 18. Again, this is Jesus talking. Look at what he says here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Praise God. Jesus in the Word offers us change. But I want to go backwards on this. Because I want to point out something to you today as we dive in further of what the Bible says to do with your money. Because if you do what the Bible says to do with your money, you won't lack. You won't have to worry about the economy. You don't have to worry about wars. You won't have to worry about what overseas is doing. You know you're blessed because you're doing it His way. And so let's look at that backwards. I'm not going to read it backwards, but we're going to look at each statement backwards. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. Now look at the end here. It says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's a change, isn't it? Those that are bruised being set at liberty, right? The recovering of the sight to the blind, talking about healing. Well, we know there's healing in the kingdom of God, so the blind can see. There's a change there. Preach deliverance to the captives, saying that those that are held captive will now be delivered, praise God. There's a change. To heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted people being supernaturally healed. That's a change, isn't it? And now look at this one. To preach the gospel to the poor. I love the Lord. He gives us exactly what we need to change what we need to change. And he says the poor, everyone else in that got their change. The gospel being preached to the poor will equal the poor not being poor anymore. It's true. When everybody else got helped here, and the preaching the gospel to the poor isn't just to make them feel better. Listen, I'll tell you what. And this, you judge your own life on this. When you're going through hell financially and you need money for something, and someone comes up to you and just says, it'll be okay, and encourages you, God loves you, and walks away. Let me tell you, is that better? Or someone saying, God loves you, here's a check for $1,000. You tell me what you like more. Right? Because, and so when he's saying preach the gospel, it's not just to make people feel good about themselves. The gospel preached to the poor, the gospel concerning finances, what God has said in his word concerning money and what to do with money, it will cause the poor to not be poor. It'll cause people's financial situations to be changed. Do you see it there? Hallelujah. So that's why we're preaching this. And just a real quick, I'm looking at the clock because I want to make sure it's a super quick review. Please go online, look at the last 2 weeks. We looked at about the tithe, didn't we? And what the Bible says about the tithe. And you know, so many times Christians give the tithe out of fear. So many times Christians bring the tithe out of, I gotta do it. That's Old Testament stuff. Abraham, or should I say this, it's law mentality. The law says, I gotta do this or else. Faith says, I get to do this, and there's gonna be some great results for doing it. And see, we saw that we're connected to Abraham in the Bible, aren't we? John 8 and verse 39 says, if you're the children of Abraham, you'll do the works of Abraham. Well, in Galatians chapter 3, it says that we are those that are of faith. Those that are Christians are the seed of Abraham. We are the children of Abraham. So therefore, we do the works of Abraham. Well, what did Abraham do way back in Genesis chapter 14? Almost 400 to 500 years before the law of tithing was ever put into place, we see Abraham bringing tithes of all, presenting unto the Lord. And the Bible says we're connected with Abraham. So we're to bring our tithe, but we're not to bring our tithe under the mentality of, got to do this, or, oh, I'm afraid if I don't. No, we bring our tithe like Abraham did. I want to honor God with it. I want the kingdom of God to be advanced, and it's also going to turn around, and I'm going to reap a harvest in my own life. That's how you bring your tithe and your offering, by faith. We saw that. We saw in Malachi. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to do it real quick. We saw that the tithe is 10%, didn't we? We looked at what a tithe is. And to make that simple, if you make $100, the Bible says 10% of that, or $10, belongs to God. Now, when we see the heart of God on the tithe, we know that the heart of God is to see the kingdom advance, but also to see people blessed. We've seen that. But another heart of the tithe is in Leviticus. We see that the Bible says that the tithe is holy unto God, that God looks at it as a holy thing. And so 10% of that belongs to him. And people say, oh my goodness, I got to do 10% of, listen, 90% blessed is better than 100% not blessed. It's the truth. I've seen it. I'd rather have my 90 blessed than keep back 100 and not honor God with it. And so here we see, in our review here, and you'll see these in those series that we looked at in the last 2 weeks, that said to bring the tithe into the storehouse, of course, in Malachi. Actually, Albert, if you'd pull up Malachi 3 and verse 10 so we can look at it. Hallelujah. Actually, start in verse 8, Malachi 3 and verse 8. Looking at the clock here, got a couple minutes left. I want to review on this. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Where? In tithes and offerings. Now go to verse 10, Albert, please. And here's what I want you to see, a real quick review. Hallelujah. Bring all the tithes. Remember we're reviewing this now. All the tithes is anything that you make, 10% of that belongs to God. Now I'm going to get to your end in a second of why you want to get involved with this. What does that mean? I missed church for 6 months, but I made money for 6 months. 6 months of that increase, 10% of it belongs to God, right? So many times people, they miss church or they go on vacation or, you know, work-related things. And that, we understand that happens. But listen, you still increased. And the Bible says to bring all the tithes. And again, I'm going to show you why it matters to do this. So it says to bring all the tithes. And then it tells us where we looked at. Into the storehouse. We say, what's the storehouse? Well, God further explains. He says that there may be meat in my house. The house of God is the storehouse where you're personally getting fed, where you're personally getting blessed, where God's helping your family and increasing what flock you've decided to put yourself under. And it should be a decision that the Lord has, that you should be obeying God on, by the way. Wherever he tells you to go, you should go. It says that's where the tithe goes. All the tithe. Every increase you make. If I get a birthday card, 10% is God's. If I get a Christmas present, 10% of it's God's. I don't even fight with him on it. There's no reason to. God just wants to bless me. I understand that the heart of the tithe isn't to take from me. It's to be a blessing. And it says into the storehouse. Why? That there may be meat in my house. And I told you this last week. That God knows the people that belong to a certain congregation. He knows what their tithe would make up. And so therefore, the leader of that congregation, or the shepherd, is the one that gets the vision from heaven, the one that gets the plan of God. God will put things on my heart, and let's just be honest about it. You can't do very much in this world without finances. You can't send missionaries out. You can't send ministers across. You can't start churches. You can't raise up new buildings. You can't keep the lights on. You can't keep the air conditioning on. You can't fix parking lots. You can't do all these things. You can't help needy people. You can't do those things without finances. And he says, bring all the tithes that there may be meat in my house. So God will lay things on the pastor's heart, knowing that it can be funded. He never tells you to do anything you can't afford. And then when people disobey that, the plan of God suffers. Remember the very first service about this series before the Durants were here was how people matter in the plan of God? Listen, if everybody stops tithing, I just want you to know the building won't get paid for, the lights will go off, the air conditioning will go off, we won't be able to send missionaries, we won't be able to start churches, and we'll cease to exist. And the plan of God will not go forward. And so when people don't do the word, the plan of God suffers. And I am passionate about the plan of God. I don't know about you, but I realize this world is passing away. Even if I get 120 years, it will be squat when I'm standing face to face with the one with the holes in his hands, the holes in his feet, the scar in his side. When I'm standing face to face with him, I don't care how long I got on this earth, it's going to seem like nothing, because then I got billions and billions of years with him, and I want to enter into that place right. I do. I want to enter into that place right. And so he says, meet in my house, the plan of God will suffer. Now, go with me to Malachi 3 and verse 12. Actually, just look on there, just to make it quick, and this will be the last thing I'll say concerning review. See, now people think that being right financially just matters about their finances. And people say, well, you know, I don't really care about having that much. You know, I'm a simple person. Let me tell you, if you don't want much, you can't bring much. It's true. I want to be well off, not so I can stockpile for my hobbies. Now, God doesn't care about you having hobbies. He says he's given you all things to enjoy. I don't want to be well off so I can be lavish in my lifestyle. I want to be well off so I can provide for the ones I love, but be a blessing to God's house and be a bigger blessing to God's house. Amen? Glory to God. And so look at what it says here. And it says, and all nations. Now, he just got done telling you about the results of bringing the tithe. He said, the result of you being a tither, all nations shall call you blessed. Do you know what the mark of your life will look like? Blessing. And see, can I just tell you that the smallest blessing there is financial blessing. Let me tell you why. If I'm a millionaire yet my kids are sick, money don't mean nothing. If I'm a millionaire and I'm troubled in my mind and going through depression, we see it in Hollywood all the time. Filled with money, yet they're committing suicide, they're getting drug overdoses, they're troubled. They're troubled. They have all the money in the world. And it doesn't solve problems. And I'll tell you, to have a healthy body, to know I'm in God's protection, to know that my kids are going to be raised in the house of God and are going to serve God. See, when they say they'll call you blessed, I don't look at someone in Hollywood that just overdoses in the hospital. I don't look at them and say, you know what? They have millions of dollars in their account. They're laying in a rehab center. They're laying in a hospital, sick out of their mind. I don't look at them and say, boy, they're so blessed. Right. It's not just talking about people looking at you and seeing, it will trickle down to your family, it'll trickle down to your businesses, to your relationships, all your life. People will be able to look at you and say, they're blessed. Why? You obeyed God financially. And remember we brought Jeff up last week and he told you the testimony about how he almost shot himself, should have been dead, the thing blew up, right, and it went through with the webbing of his hand, ricocheted off his glasses, off his head, should have been dead, shouldn't have been here. And the first thing the Spirit of God, if you listen to the message last week, you'll hear, I suggest, man, he was preaching me happy last week, and the first thing the Lord said to him is, you're still here, I'm paraphrasing, but you're still here because you're a tither. Yeah, it affects everything. You say, Pastor, you're just trying to get us into fear. No, never. I'm just presenting what the Bible says to you and wanting you to be blessed. And remember I told you the story of the minister in Iowa, congregation member of his. She was hemorrhaging really bad. She went to the hospital. She felt like she was going away and she was slipping away. And Jesus appeared to her. She had a heavenly vision. Are those biblical? They sure are. I haven't had one, but I hope I do someday. But if not, I'll see him anyways. And Jesus appeared to her and she thought he was there to receive her, to take her to heaven. And she said to him, Lord, are you here to receive me? Now here she is, a young lady in her 30s, kids, husband, serving in the church. And Jesus smiled at her, got a big old grin on his face and looked at her. She said his eyes were just wells of love. Looked at her and said, it's not time for you to go anywhere. This is basically, I'm paraphrasing again, you're not going to die because you're a tither. And the Lord said, you got work to do and you got a family. All nations will call you blessed. It does not just affect your finances. It affects everything. And go to Luke 16 now. We'll all turn there. Luke 16, 10, if you have your Bible. If not, we'll look on the screen. Let me show you something about being... See, people don't understand that tithes and offerings are the entry point into being financially free, into getting your finances out of your hands and getting them out from underneath the world's curse and getting them underneath God's provision and God's blessing. Look at Luke 16 and verse 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least." Now remember here, the context of this verse is least, right? "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." So he just got done in verse 10 telling you that he that is faithful in that which is least. Now look at the first thing he says in verse 11. "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon." You know what unrighteous mammon is? It's a good old-fashioned way of the King James Version saying money. Mammon is money. He just got done saying in verse 10, if you can't be faithful in that which is least, well, then he says here, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, you know what God's calling money? Least. We magnify money in our lives, and we magnify money at being, listen, the blessing of the Lord is much better than just finances. The Lord says, if you can't even be faithful in money, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? People can't even be faithful in giving, bringing the 10% and bringing an offering. And the Lord said, that's least. He says, how am I going to commit? If you can't be faithful with something as little as money, if you get, you know, I remember one time we got an unexpected check for $9,000. And it was from a family member that openly and will admittedly tell you they do not like me. It was a blessing of God, just a supernatural thing. And I know you're thinking, how could you not like him? I know you're all thinking that, but, you know, just I appreciate those thoughts. And I remember getting that, and 10% of that is $900. And I remember the temptation shot through my mind, oh, because, you know, as you increase more, the tithe is a bigger amount. It's still the same percentage. And I remember thinking, oh, man. And then I said, What is wrong with me? I know I got to be faithful with this. I want the true riches trusted to me. I care less about money, but I want to be faithful and I want to bless my family. So I wrote out that check, $900. It's Lord's, not mine. It's non-negotiable. But he says if you can't be faithful in money, if you can't be faithful to bring your tithe and to bring your offering, he says I can't commit to your trust the true riches. There are people that will never walk into what God has for them because they're unfaithful with money. And you say again, well, what's your big deal about money? Money is your heart. Money is tied and connected to this, which is what God wants from you. He wants your innermost being, the unseen. He wants your motives. He wants your the things that you walk out when nobody can see. Praise God. Those are heart issues. He says, if you can't be faithful with that. Now, Malachi 3 and verse 10 again, or verse 8. Hallelujah. People are going to be blessed because of this. You know, I didn't learn this until somebody took the time to teach me. And I started doing it and put it into practice. And the mark of my life is blessing. I'm sorry it is. It's favor. It's increase. It's supernatural things happening in my life. You're going to see my kids grow up under the things of God and just serving the Lord. Praise God. And here's the awesome thing. God is so merciful. I don't care what you've done before you came in here. Doesn't matter. See, don't let the devil trip you up that it's too late for you. Because the Lord just dropped into my spirit that people in this room right now are saying, it's too late for me. And you're envious because I can tell you as a 34-year-old man with two young kids that my children are going to grow. Stop believing the devil's lies. Today's a brand new day. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward. You can start serving God, start saying, I'm going to do what's right. And yes, my kids may have wandered. Yes, this may have gone astray. But because I'm going to obey you now, Lord, I'm going to get your blessing. Everything's changing. My kids are coming back. My finances are coming back. All this is changing. But the devil will tell you it's too late for you. No, it's not. That's a lie of the enemy. God is a God of tomorrow. Praise God. In God's kingdom, yesterday doesn't even exist. Listen, I've missed it and failed so bad in my life that, holy cow, you'd wonder how I'm even up here. But God's merciful. Amen. He loves you so much. Hallelujah. And so it's never too late. Start being faithful and start watching everything change. But this is the second part of we looked at the tithe already. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed you, Lord? And now the Lord says to us, tithes and offerings. And so what I want to teach on today is the offering. And because people get it confused, they do one, but they leave out the other, or they don't do any of them. And we want to do both to be blessed. And it does us good to do both. And he says this, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Well, what is an offering? Well, we know a tithe is 10% of your increase. An offering, now listen to this, is anything that you give above 10%. That's considered an offering. The New Testament has a whole lot to say about the offering and what the offering means for your life. Now see, you can't offer the tithe to God. The reason you can't offer the tithe is because the tithe was never yours. The tithe is wholly under the Lord. It belongs to God. That's why they say in Malachi 3:10, bring the tithe to the storehouse. It doesn't say give your tithe. You can't give somebody something that's not yours. You can bring it back to them. You can offer it back. You can't give it an offering, but you understand what I mean. You can offer it back to them in that sense. But you can't give God a tithe because it's not yours to give. But you can give God an offering. And it's anything above the 10%. Now, are we to give offerings? Well, we know in that verse it says that we are. But let's go to the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Praise God. These next 2 weeks, I'm going to be teaching on the offering. And I'll tell you what, after these messages are over, you'll be so excited to give. It will just go through all those scary thoughts that the devil gives you. How can I give in this economy? How can I obey God? You'll be so motivated and excited to give. And you say, Pastor, you're just trying to get us to give more. You are right. I am absolutely trying to get you to not be stingy and to be generous because I know what the Bible says will happen to you. Yeah, let me help you out here. If my board was here, board members, they'd be able to tell you he's right. The offering increasing does not affect my take-home pay 1 cent. I don't get bonuses when the offering goes up. My salary has not changed in over a year. I could give a rip about my salary. Praise God. Started the church with no salary and was willing to do it until Jesus came back. But yes, you are right. I'm trying to get you to give more. I'm trying to get you to tithe. I'm trying to get you to bring your offerings. Why? Because I know the result. You're darn right. I'm trying to get you to give more. Absolutely. Not afraid to admit it. With a little spit behind that. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 says this. Now, should we be givers? Should we bring offering? Every man, you're included. You're every. According as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not an option. And remember Jesus said, he said, it's more blessed. Actually, the disciples quoted him in Acts. Said, remember what our words of our Lord Jesus said? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why is it more blessed to give? Because when you give, all of a sudden multiplication starts coming. You see, when you receive something, you get what you receive. But when you give, you can multiply that. Why? Because seed time and harvest, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. And we'll see those things. You'll be so motivated to give. You'll be so motivated to obey God. Hallelujah. Now, where are we to give this? Well, go to verse 6 here. Actually, I'm sorry. Look at verse 7. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Notice that the Bible says to bring the tithe to the storehouse, but it doesn't say where to bring the offering. The offering is what's on your heart. The offering, God says, can go where you want it to go. Now, I'm going to tell you what I've done as your pastor, what your pastor does, and I'm going to tell you what I've talked with other ministers that they do and other congregation members. Remember, I used to be the accountant at a thriving church in Jamestown, and I got to see people's finances, and I got to talk to people about their finances, and so it wasn't just ministers. It was people across the board. My number one offering has and always will go to my local church. Not telling you that you have to do that. Obey your heart on that, but here's why I've done that, because that's what's feeding me. That's my main supply. That's what I'm mainly connected to. Now, we give offerings to the Durants, Brother Chris DeBico, Dr. Ed Dufresne, the Walkers. We give offerings to different places, help people out, be in the grocery store, see a single mom, can't pay for her groceries. I'll pay for them. That's an offering. I can choose to do that if I want to, right? But here's what I want you to see concerning the offering, of why it's so important that you make sure where you're putting it is a good place. Because he says in verse 6 of chapter 9, now in chapter 8 and chapter 9, it's two whole chapters talking about Paul talking to the church at Corinth about an offering they were getting ready to take up. And I'll get to more of that in a second. But he says in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly. Now, he's not talking about sowing seed in a field. He's talking in context here, a financial offering that's going to be taken up. You can read that and clearly see in these two chapters. But notice that he likens money to sowing a seed. And then in verse 10, it says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. It's not talking about going out to a cornfield, putting out corn seed and getting your corn seed multiplied. Now, those principles work, but in context here, he's talking about money. And so what he's likening money to is a seed, right? Well, let's say that over here, I have a 100-acre cornfield, fertile, just wonderful. The weather conditions are going to be great. And let's say here, I got Main Street and South Dayton, Pine Street there, just running down there. And I take my corn seed, and I scatter all my corn seed on that hard road, and I dump all my seed there. Can I expect any kind of a harvest?
No.
Or let's say I scattered among the thorns. Or you know, sometimes, I know one instance, a guy was taking corn out to his field, and the corn was falling off the tractor, and it was going like on the dirt road, and a little bit sprung up, but not like it sprung up when he put it in the good ground. The thing you want to make sure with your offering is that you're sowing it into good ground. I have had the Lord audibly speak in my spirit so clearly one time. I sowed an offering and the Lord said, don't you expect one bit of harvest from that seed. You sowed that into bad ground. And I never sowed a seed into that ground, into that ground again. What is good ground? Well, the poor is good ground. The Bible says to be givers to the poor. The Bible also says that good ground is places where people are getting born again. Places where the Word of God is being taught. Where there's safety. I used to give to a ministry that I would hear hear over the radio that would just, they would say things that were absolutely not the Bible. Absolutely 100% different than what the Bible teaches. I stopped. I said, I'm not sowing that anymore. Not getting a harvest from that. I want to be a good steward of my money. Where's a good place to sow? Place where you're getting fed. Place where they're teaching the Word. Place where people are getting born again. Ministers are good people to sow. What do I mean by that? Traveling ministers that are going and doing the work of God. You know, the ones we bring in here. They're safe. They're sound. That's good ground. Why sow your finances in something that's not going to get a harvest? Don't you want to be increased to be a bigger blessing? So that's make sure with your offering that it goes to a place that is good ground. Now here's... And this is what we're going to finish up with today. How much of an offering do we give? Now again, I'm going to be biblical here with you these next 2 weeks. Because the Bible tells us the tithe, he makes it simple with the tithe, 10%. He doesn't tell us. He says as much as you purpose in your heart. Didn't we see that? Now, what we're going to look at next week, and we're going to show you biblical examples of this, there's two ways to know the amount of what you're supposed to give on top of your 10%. Number one, and what we'll look at today, is what you purpose in your heart. What you decide, I want to give above the 10%. But also, what the Lord specifically speaks to you. There are times where God will specifically tell you, and the Spirit of God will be prompting you to give a certain amount for an offering. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's happened to me several times. And actually, if you remember the word I told I had for the church that the Lord gave me before I went to Canada? He said to me, I was praying in my office, and it's good to hear this again. I probably won't talk about it too much after maybe this Wednesday or next Sunday. I'll probably bring it up again. But the Lord said to me when I was praying in my office before I left to Canada, he said, I'm going to be laying specific amounts on people's hearts to give. Now, and again, next week you'll see that's a biblical thing that God will tell people specifically what to do at times. He said, I'm going to be laying specific amounts on people's hearts. And this is what he said. If they will obey me, I will reward them openly. And I looked at Matthew 6. My Bible was open to me. He said, look in the Word. And it said, when you give your alms or your offerings, do it in secret. And the Lord which is in secret will reward you openly. What's an open reward? One that's noticeable. One that people can see. One that people can say, man, they're blessed. They're blessed. Praise God. And so he said that to me. He said, and if they'll obey it, there'll be an open reward. And he told me this. He said, make sure you tell the people that I said that because some of them won't be able to recognize when it happens. Because sometimes we think, man, did I make that up? Or, boy, Lord, that's really stretching me. Are you sure? And he said to tell them, and it's funny, I was laying on my hotel bed. He said, and that goes for you too, preacher. That's what he said to me. He said, that goes for you too, preacher. So I'm just waiting for the Lord to lay an amount on my heart. But until he does that, I'm going to purpose as I as I want to and give whatever I want to give on my heart. That's an okay thing to do. Now, I want to be generous, and sometimes I want to be sacrificial to obey God, but He leaves it up to you when it comes to the offering. He's good that way, amen? But there are times, and so I just would tell people this, because the Spirit of God said this, that word that He gave me is a door into more for people. And do you remember that I said that some people will be driving, some people will be laying in bed and be woken up at night, and some people will be praying, and the Lord will put them on their heart? Well, remember Alice, if you weren't here last week, you didn't see this. Alice came up to me after service with her mouth wide open. She worked third shift. She's not here right now. And she said, "Oh, my God, Pastor Mike." If you know Alice, you'll know how she talked. "Oh, my God, Pastor Mike, I was driving here this morning, and it happened to me." And the one thing I forgot to mention to people is that the Lord said, "I've already put specific amounts on people's hearts. By the time you tell it, I've already put specific amounts on people's hearts," but they just didn't recognize it. And she didn't know. The Lord had never spoke to her that way. And she came up to me and said, "It already happened." I said, "He said it, people will be driving and in the mouth." And now if she obeys that, praise God, it'll be a door in the morning. She'll be rewarded openly. But praise God, if the Lord doesn't speak a certain amount to you, just continue to give as you purpose in your heart. But praise God, and I'll get more on this next week. If He does, get ready for the floodgates to open. Every time God has specifically said do something, there's been two things that have been attached to it. Number one, it was a stretch. And number two, the blessing that came was just unimaginable. It was multiplied that I couldn't even. So we'll get to that more next week. But we'll close with this. As you purpose in your heart, go to Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Hallelujah. I feel like I've been preaching forever, but it's only a little after 11. I might get you out of here early today. Praise God. Proverbs 11. So be aware of that. Just be open to God speaking to you. Don't fight that. And that's why I love how the Lord, there's no manipulation from your pastor. I don't know what God's going to speak to your heart. I don't know if God's going to speak to your heart. He just specifically said to me, "I'm going to be laying amounts on people's hearts." Didn't say every single person in the world, every single one of your congregation members. Maybe that's what it means. But I don't try to twist what God says. And He didn't tell me, "And this is the amount that they're to give," and you tell them. Man, if you ever hear a preacher or me get up here and say, "God told me you're supposed to give this amount," man, run for the door. Let God speak to you, okay? Let God tell you what to do, not your pastor in that regard. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Maybe some of you have had light bulbs go off and say, "Okay, now I know what that was. I know what that was. The Lord has said that to me now, and it's your door in the morning." Proverbs 11, 24. "As you purpose in your heart, there is that scattereth, and yet they increase. And there is that withhold more than is right or meet, but it tends or leads to poverty." What am I trying to tell you? That it pays to be generous. When you're talking about what do I, because remember, the tithe is not being generous. The tithe is being obedient. The tithe is presenting an honor to God. The offering is being generous. And it says, there is that scatters, yet they increase. The giver that will scatter and let go of it. The Bible says they're the ones that will increase. I've seen it time and time again. The people that are the most generous that I know are the most blessed. It's not even a question. Even sinners in my life that I know that are super generous are super blessed. And the ones that are super greedy, they're not. And I see it in church people too. When I did the finances in Jamestown, it was so simple to see. The ones that were the most generous people were the ones that were so blessed. Why? The Bible, don't mock God. He's not a liar. There is that scatters. If I can get you to scatter, I can get you to increase. Do you see that there? Pastor, you're trying to manipulate money out of us. Yes, through the Word of God. You are absolutely right. I want you to scatter, and then you'll increase. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. People think wrong about money and it affects them. They think wrong. They're so touchy about it because a lot of times people grew up without it. A lot of times people haven't had it. Well, stop doing what you're doing and start doing what the Bible says and those things will change. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Now let me just explain again. Chapter 8 and chapter 9 are the Apostle Paul, the greatest used servant of God ever, telling the church at Corinth, talking to them about an offering they're getting ready to take up that they were going to give to him, that he was going to use for himself, but also use for the saints in Jerusalem, is talking about this offering, and he's also bragging about the church at Macedonia in this scripture, about the offering they collected for him. So understand the context here. This whole next two chapters, which we're not going to read, is talking about money. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, I'm just going to highlight a few verses. It says, moreover, brethren, we do wit, or we do want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now look at what it says in the Amplified. The Amplified brings out the original Greek and explains it better. It says, we want to tell you further, brethren, about the grace, the favor and spiritual blessing of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia. So he's bragging to the Corinth church about this church in Macedonia. He says, arousing in them the desire to give alms. He's saying, there's a grace on this church in Macedonia for being givers. And then, let's see, where do I want to drop down to? Verse 7, he says, therefore, as you abound, talking to the Corinth church, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace is he talking about? The grace of giving. He just got done saying in verse 1, we need to tell you about the grace that's on the Macedonia church of their giving. They're so generous. And he says, you need to abound and excel, the Amplified says, in this grace also. Why? Paul knows the Bible too. He knows the Old Testament better than we know the Old Testament. And he knows if he can get them to scatter, he can get them to increase. If he can get them to increase, he can get them to do more for the kingdom of God. More for the kingdom of God means more people saved, more people set free, more people delivered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then go to chapter 9 and verse 1. We only have a few verses left. Now, I encourage you to read through this, and I encourage you also to look at it in the Amplified. It brings out the Greek, and it brings it out in a language that we can more understand it than the King James. But he says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous to write to you. English, please. Chapter 9, verse 1 in Amplified says, now about the offering that is to be made for the saints, God's people in Jerusalem, it is quite superfluous that I should write to you. Now, he's talking again here in the context of this offering that they're getting ready to take up. You see that? Now, are you ready to be blessed?
Yes.
Go to verse 5. Remember, the whole context of 8 and 9 is about them, about him going to them and saying, give this money. And Paul wants to point some things out to them. Verse 5. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, that is why I thought it necessary to urge these brethren to go before you. Paul was not afraid to talk about money. He was not shy. He was not shy to stand up there and tell you about it, and you're going to see that here in a second. He said, I thought it necessary to urge these brethren to go before you, and I do make arrangements in advance for this bountiful. They haven't even given it yet, and he's telling them it's going to be bountiful. It's going to be a big offering. Woo, I'll tell you what, they'd put him on 2020, man. They'd have an expose about him. He'd be on all the headlines. Preacher out there trying to get money out of people's pockets. Paul didn't care, man. He said, it's going to be big. He says, promised gift of yours so that it may be ready, not as an extortion, not wrung out of you, but as a generous and a willing gift. Now, are you ready for verse 6?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, because this is what I want to point out to you. Talking about an offering, talking about taking their money, their hard-earned money, this offering for God's plan. Look what he says in verse 6. I love it. He says, but before you take up this offering, this I say. Woo! He says, I just want you to know. Now, this is God's preacher here. The guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The guy that had visions and revelations of Jesus Christ, who the Bible says no man taught him the revelation, but Jesus Christ, face to face, personally, taught Paul the Pauline epistles and the revelation of righteousness and the revelation of the authority they have in Christ. This is that preacher, okay? This money-grabbing preacher that the world thinks. He says, this I say, I just want to remind you before you do this, he which sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. What's he saying? Before you do this, I want to remind you, you give a little, don't expect a lot. You see that there? And he says, but he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Don't you love it? Man, if I just hide behind the Bible, man. That's as bold as I could ever get to stand up here and tell you, listen, go ahead and keep giving a little and you're going to see little in your life. Isn't that what he said? He's reminding them before they put anything in. Because the Lord says, as you purpose in your heart, well, you better make sure what your purpose in your heart is generous. Because if it's not, don't expect increase, right? I mean, that's as biblical as I can be about it. This is Paul talking, and I'm starting to go down that road of apologizing for the word, and I'm just going to stop it. That's what he said. Hallelujah. And so it says, this I say, he which soweth sparingly will reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know what Paul wasn't worried about? People leaving the church because they were offended. Do you remember Jesus preached the message over there in John chapter 6? And the multitude said, the disciples said, this is hard for us to understand. We don't understand this. And it says, from that point forward, many left him and followed him no more. Jesus had a major exodus out of his church in one day, in one message. And you didn't see Jesus pouting. You didn't see Jesus saying, well, let's change the message. Let's not be as bold. You know what Jesus did? He looked at his 12 disciples and he said, are you guys next? He didn't even say, please stay with me. Oh boy, we're in trouble now. He looked at him and said, are you next? He didn't care. He wasn't going to change his message for the offense of people. And you know what Peter said? And if people in the church, in church as a whole, would get this straight, they'd be so safe. Peter said, Lord, where would we go? Your words are true. They're hard. They might be hard. It might step on our toes. It might be bold. But where the heck are we going to go? Yeah, it's true. You go down the... When I say down the road, I don't mean the literal churches down the road. I don't know what they're preaching down there. But I mean, you go down the road to the next church that won't teach you the Bible. You go down there and have someone stand up here and tell, you know, just give what you know whatever you want, you know, just throw a little in here and there. Go ahead and do that. And an increase in bountiful reaping won't show up. That's why Paul said, listen, he started the church at Corinth. He cared about the people. That's why he was able to say, give big, you'll get big. You see that? He that scatters will increase. Hallelujah. And last two verses, Galatians 6 and verse 7, and we're closing. I want to be done by quarter after, and I think we're going to get it. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Now, just so you know, again, this is that preacher, the same preacher. I'm going to wait until it gets pulled up on the screen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know many Christians are deceived? They're deceived. They're wondering, where is it? Where's this harvest? Where's this increase? But they're not doing their part because he says, whatsoever a man sows, he'll reap. Don't expect to reap anything out from underneath of what you've sowed. It would be stupid for a farmer to go in a 100-acre cornfield, to plant 25 acres of corn, and to go out there and be mad and stomp and go home, be angry with his wife, and say, I didn't get 100 acres of corn. She's going to say, well, stupid, you only planted 25. What'd you expect? And Christians are, where is it? Well, stop tipping God. God doesn't need your tips. The server might at the restaurant, but God don't need your tips. God needs your generosity. God needs your God. The plan of God needs your tithe. Glory to God. And we'll close. And one translation says, "A man's harvest in life is dependent entirely upon the seed which he sows." Yeah, I'll just tell you, if anybody in here is getting mad right now, you got a Judas spirit on you. Let me tell you. Just be real clear with you. Remember when the lady dumped a year's salary on Jesus? The ointment, remember? And remember Judas said, that money could have been used for the poor. And Jesus said, listen, the poor you have with you always. You won't have me here. What she did was a good thing. She dumped a year's salary worth of ointment on his body. And Jesus said she did a good thing, right? The Judas spirit is the greedy spirit, the stingy spirit, the spirit that gets mad. When you can clearly see in the Bible that the Bible says your harvest depends on you, not God. A farmer's harvest depends on what they sow, not God. Amen? Now, God's power works once you do it. But if you get mad or angry or upset about this, then you're mad and angry, upset about the Bible, and that's a Judas spirit. And you need to cast that thing down. Praise God. Because the devil tried to keep you in lack. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely upon the seed which he sows. And we'll finish in Luke 6, verse 38. Praise God. Give. Luke 6, 38. Give. Not an option. Give. And it. Everybody say it. It will be given unto you. What is the it? Whatever you gave. But he says this, so he promises you a complete return on everything you gave. You drop a 10 in, you drop 100 in, you drop 1,000, it will show up back in that form to you. Give and it will be given unto you. But here's where the supernatural multiplication of God's word comes into play. Give and it will be given back to you, but when it comes back, it won't look the same. It'll come back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It'll come back multiplied. Why? God is good. God sowing and reaping, seed, time, and harvest. As long as the earth remains, the Bible says, seed, time, harvest. Plant a seed, time goes by, harvest comes. What's the harvest going to look like? Let's back up to your seed, because that's what's going to depend on what your harvest looks like. Amen? So now next week, in conjunction with what the Lord said to me, could I miss God in the word he said to me in my office? Sure could, but am I? Absolutely not. I know I'm not missing God. I was in Thursday morning in Canada, and I didn't tell people before I went to Canada what he said, and it dropped in my spirit so strong in a service Thursday morning. He said, you make sure the next service you tell them. Because if Paul doesn't tell them, listen, don't sow generously, then they wouldn't have sown generously and they wouldn't have increased. And so I'm telling you, God will speak to people in this church certain things to give. Be open to it. If he doesn't, just continue to be generous. Amen? But be open when he does, and you'll know and you'll recognize. And next week we're going to look at specific places in the Word where God will tell you. Because it's not just this word he gave me, but going forth in your Christian life, you need to be sensitive to the fact that God will talk to you about your money. God will tell you certain things to sow into, and you need to be obedient to those things, because like we'll see next week, when you're obeying what God says to do, oh man, like I said, when God's told me to do something, it's been a stretch, but boy, the blessing was ridiculous, if you want to say that word. So, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, you're just trying to get us to be generous. Father, Lord, you know my heart. I've already settled this with you in my office. I've already settled this with you years ago in private, Father God. I know my heart in preaching this stuff. Lord, this doesn't affect my income. This doesn't affect my salary. I could care less, Lord. And you know that, Father. I'd give everything up and start over just for you. Lord, I want people blessed. Father, I pray that people's eyes would be open to this. That, Father, the devil has them in such fear to release. Father, you know the conversation I had with the one lady who said, I've been sitting on a savings account like a hen over her baby chicks, just guarding and protecting it, and it's just dwindling and dwindling. Father, that's what people do. They grasp to it. They hold on when your kingdom has always been scatter, scatter, give, give, and I'll increase you. So, Father, I pray that they get this revelation. I pray that your people would see it, Father, that first they'd become faithful in the tithe, and then they'd become generous in their offerings, and, Father, they'd watch you increase their lives. So, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding concerning this. Help them, Father. Speak to them, Lord. Speak to them, Father. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Financial blessings are awesome, and it takes, finance to do what you want to do in life and to do take care of your needs, but also for things you love to do and fun things you like that God wants you to be able to do. But, man, I'll tell you what, finances mean nothing compared to salvation. I mean, zero compared to the gift of salvation. And Jesus died for you, and it's a free gift. You don't have to give a tithe for it. You don't have to give an offering for it. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know everybody personally in here. And also, I don't know who all is listening by live stream over the internet. If you're here or if you're listening on live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If the answer isn't a 100% yes, that's the sign. And that's your prompting that you need Jesus. Because I know I'm going to heaven. The Bible says so because I've accepted the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't embarrass anybody. You won't have to stand up. You won't have to come up front. You won't have to say anything on your own. Just where you are at your seat with heads bowed, eyes closed. If you want to receive Jesus, if you want to know that you're going to heaven, if you want to know that your sins are forgiven, if you want to know that you'll have a Father that's supernatural to take care of you and protect you and to guide you and to get you into a plan that's blessed, if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, nobody looking around, please. Would you just raise your hand high in the air? If you want to receive, I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus? You say, well, I'm not sure if I have received Jesus. Listen, going to church doesn't get you saved. Being a good person doesn't get you saved. Asking Jesus into your life gets you saved. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus? You'll know because you'll have that scratch in your heart that's telling you, raise your hand. Anybody else? Just raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus. Well, I see that hand. You can put it down. That's why we don't rush it. Glory to God. Anybody else want to receive Jesus here today? Just put your hand up. We're not going to embarrass you. We'll just have you put it right back down. Anybody else? Father, I see two hands here. I'm so thankful for them. And Lord, we don't know how many people are listening or will listen to this in the future. Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you that you've made it simple. Father, you said if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God, that you raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. So those that raised your hand, as well as everybody in the church, we're going to pray a prayer. You're going to repeat it after me. Don't just say the words, but mean them with your whole heart. Everybody repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. Albert, you can hit stop on that. I'll tell you what, that's